Some claim people who eat seaweed are the healthiest and longest living people in the history of mankind. This claim leads us to ask, is seaweed a superfood?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 918th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Puerto Madryn who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Ricochet on the boards. Hello, Rick.
Good day, Michael.
Also, producer Kelly Bayer on the stories. Hello, Kelly.
Howdy, Michael.
Folks, I was introduced to the nutritional properties of kelp, seaweed, by my friend Robin. He was a dedicated gardener and all-around plant person from South Africa. You could always see Robin walking down the street examining everybody's plants as if he were a physician examining their body. One day, quite a few years ago, Robin called with a request for a ride. I have some boxes to take downtown to the flea market, he said. And I'll have a lift. Robin, of course, didn't have a car, so I volunteered my car to take him downtown in his boxes. But when we went to pick up his boxes, I was stunned because there in front of us were a bunch of boxes containing shredded kelp, you know, with the flies were buzzing around. And obviously, Robin had gone down to the nearby beach here on the shores of the Monterey Bay Area, and drug home some kelp. And he, in his driveway, he shredded it by hand, and he washed it, and he dried it, and he put it in these boxes, and he was going to take it downtown to sell it. And I looked at these boxes and the flies buzzing around him, and I said, you got to be crazy, Robin. Nobody's going to give you money for those boxes of kelp. What on earth are you thinking? And he said, well, let's just wait and see what happens. So I gave him a ride downtown and parked him in the flea market with his boxes of kelp and turned him loose. And I went about doing my errands. And after I did a few errands, I got to thinking, gee, I wonder how he's doing. So I swung back by the flea market there. And there was Robin standing there with a puzzled look on his face. And there was no kelp to be seen anywhere. And I said, Robin, did you actually sell those boxes of kelp? And he said, no, I didn't. I said, I went to the bathroom, and when I came back, somebody had stolen them. And I said, somebody stole kelp? Sure enough. So that theft of Robin's kelp had me kind of thinking, well, what on earth is in this stuff that could be so worthwhile that people would actually steal it? And I got to considering it and looking into it. Those being the days before internet, you had to actually do some digging. But what I did discover, I found most fascinating, because here is a plant that just hangs there in the water, in the shallows of the sea, and it absorbs just about everything that is in the sea, which is just about everything. When you think about it, you throw anything into the water and it dissolves and goes into suspension, and that's what kelp contains, just about everything, all the elements. So here's a plant that from which you can get a lot of nutrition. And later on, as I progressed through my life, I got into the business of making an organic fertilizer for yuppie houseplants. We ended up buying tons of kelp from all over the world and turning it into this organic fertilizer called Soil Essence. And we sold it in little shaker bottles to people for their houseplants. And it was an organic food, and maybe 20 years before its time, but there it is. So that being said, I guess you could say I am a fan of kelp and have been for a long time. But when I saw this whole notion of people being living forever, I kind of stopped and thought, well, what is this? Who could say something like that? What is it? Here it is. the claim that people who eat it every day, or maybe even three times a week, are the healthiest and longest living people in the history of mankind. Wow. So we called up Scott Kennedy from the pharmacy company and said, will you join us on the radio? And Scott said yes, but then he didn't. For the second time in 918 radio shows, the guest didn't show up. So you're my guest today. And what we'd like to talk about with you as the guest is, what do you do to put nutrition back into the soil so that the plants you grow are healthy? Do you use commercial fertilizer? Do you make your own fertilizer? Are you a composter? If you are a composter, what do you use to make your compost? How do you make compost? If you were to teach your neighbor how to make compost, what would you tell them? That is what we're going to work with today, and we're going to look at the nutrition of our soil. We're going to look at the great agriculture of our coast here and throughout California and around the country. And we're going to ask, you know, do you think those commercial foods actually contain all of the nutrition that our bodies require, given the fact that, you know, those crops are grown in the same fields year after year after year? Do you think that soil has everything that the plants need to survive? And do you think that those nutrients are there when we eat the food? And if not, where are we going to get that nutrition? This is a subject that we often talk about on this radio station, but here it is today. Kelp is said to be one of those things that can actually provide those sources of nutrition. What else would you use? Are you a gardener? What do you feed your soil? You know, around our house, we become composters. And so great fun composting. Everything that we used to throw away now goes into the compost bins and back into the soil. So much of what we used to throw away now goes back into the soil and back into the plants that feed us again. Not only our vegetables, but our fruit trees and everything else can now be fed by the things that we used to throw away. Are you a composter? How do you go about composting? That's what we'd like to talk about today. And that phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do the foods that we eat contain the nutrition we require? What do you think? When you go down and buy a box of cereal, does it contain everything you need? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What goes into the soil of our commercial agriculture? If you think about it, you know, all of the nutrition that our bodies require, do you think that agriculture is capable of putting everything into the soil? And if you look at the soil, you wonder, do they put enough boron in or molybdenum? How can they possibly know how much to put in? Those are questions that you gotta ask, because that's what's feeding our bodies, you know, the food that we eat from that soil. Do you think that food has everything we need to survive and be healthy? So that's the subject today. You are the guest. Our guest, Scott Kennedy, is a no-show, which means that we probably wouldn't believe him if he did show up. So anybody who doesn't show is a no-show, and how can you believe somebody who says something like that and then doesn't show up? So what he did say, though, is very interesting. The people who eat it every day, be eating kelp every day, or maybe even only three times a week, are the healthiest and longest living people in the history of mankind. And of course, I think he's talking about the people of Japan who eat a lot of seafood and kelp. Do you think that is possible? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio Show. We're going to go to the phones right after this break. We're going to start with Wendy. And, of course, we'd like to pick up you as well. The subject is nutrition for our bodies and for our soil. And you are the guest. So you have to pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. The question on the table today, what do you do to feed your soil? And what do you do to feed yourself? Is what we get from commercial foods sufficient to feed our bodies? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Wendy's up when we get back, and I hope you'll join us as well. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host today, and you are the guest. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with the Food Chain and you.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey, what do you think out there? Is seaweed a superfood for the human body? Boy, I think so, but I'm kind of prejudiced. I've been using it for a long time, and I've seen what it can do for plants, and I think it can do a lot, pretty much the same thing for people, but who am I to know? I just experiment around and see things happening. We do have a fellow here who says, and I quote, "The people who eat it every day, or maybe even 3 times a week, are the healthiest and longest living people in the history of mankind." Scott Kennedy, do you really say that?
I did say that, and thank you for inviting me to your show today. Seaweed is it's amazing stuff.
So who are those people that live longer and healthier than anybody in the history of mankind?
The Japanese women are the longest living cultural group in history. As a cultural, large cultural group, I think over in the Caucasus Mountains, there's some centurions up there, and they've been studied, and they drink grape vodka in the middle of the day. But it's not a large amount of people. But the Japanese culture is really a good example of the kind of health that you can achieve with just a little bit of seaweed every day. Now, they only eat about 7 grams, but that's about a weight of a walnut, and so it's not a lot. They season with it. They eat it for snacks. It's in the, around the sushi. But the iodine that's in the seaweed is the magic missing nutrient over here in the United States and in the Western world. We don't get any iodine.
Mm-hmm. And what does iodine do for the body?
Well, iodine, it feeds the thyroid. Vegetable iodine feeds the thyroid. So the thyroid puts out all these different hormones, T1, T2, 3, 4. And especially for women, women are experiencing hypothyroidism at epidemic levels, women of all ages, because their hormones and their endocrine system runs off their thyroid. So there's no iodine in our food supply. It's just it's a pharmaceutically made potassium iodide. And in Japan, it's just the opposite. They're getting 5 to 10 times the RDA for iodine every single day. Korean mothers are breastfeeding their babies with milk full of iodine. It's not dangerous. It's not toxic. It just isn't. They're smarter. It's tied to the brain health, and they have a higher IQ. And I'm trying to bring this to the Americans in the form of a supplement, because really that's all it really is. It just needs to be taken as a supplement every day. And you'll watch your body change profoundly.
So there's a difference between vegetable iodine and potassium iodide.
Oh, yes. Yes. And, you know,
and potassium iodide is what they put in table salt?
Yes. It's not just in table salt anymore. And that's the thing. See, in the 30s, it was just in the table salt. It was in the sea rations that the World War II men had, and some of them came back and there's something wrong with their thyroid. It couldn't be something in the sea rations. But then through press releases and the growth of health agencies in America, now it's pervasive. It's ubiquitous. Potassium iodide is 70% of it is hidden in the food supply. And why is this important? Well, the thyroid makes iodide from iodine, but it uses iodine as well. And so science can't create iodine. They can't create salt water or seawater. They can't create blood. You know, otherwise we'd have synthetic blood. They really can't create vitamins, and that's a whole other story. How are they creating vitamins if they're not creating photosynthesis? What are they actually doing? So I think that's the biggest lie of the 20th century. But if the ocean is creating these compounds inside the sea plants, and you eat those, then you're going to ingest real iodine, whole iodine. When we ingest the pharmaceutical iodide, your thyroid picks it up and keeps picking it up, and it just keeps getting slower and slower and slower. So with the increase in iodide throughout the food supply from the 30s to present, we've seen the obesity increase in the same period of time at the same rate. Mm-hmm. So the slowing of the thyroid, when you exacerbate it with sugar and salt and a bad diet, it's going to get worse. But all the salts, the salty foods, the snacks, the fast foods have iodide in it. And so this is causing other problems with women, hair falling out, low energy, low thyroid, which runs their endocrine system, so the circadian rhythms for sleep are affected. Now women are getting on Ambien, their mood shifts. And so just a little seaweed every day can change that entire paradigm. I mean, it's just so powerful. It's the most powerful plant on earth.
Well, I became fascinated with kelp as a soil amendment, as a constituent of a fertilizer that I once manufactured.
Yeah.
And what I've seen kelp do for plants is simply amazing. I've seen it turn a pale, sickly plant into a plant that's shining and blue-green and healthy and able to withstand insect pests. And I mean, the yep. difference is truly amazing. And I don't know what's in kelp. I think everything is in kelp. And I think everything is in kelp is available to the organisms that feed upon it. So whereas...
Absolutely.
Whereas synthetic fertilizers or like ways of force feeding plants, kelp and natural elements like natural ingredients like kelp are a way of feeding the soil, and then the soil
yes.
feeds the plants. So there's a different way of going about that. Now, is the same thing true with the human body?
It is, and you're right at the crux of the matter. This sea plant, it's so like our tissue. It's got connective tissue. It's got fatty acids, polysaccharides. It's high in minerals, and we need minerals. And so it's 44 up to 44% minerals. But the plants grow 2 feet a day.
Up to 44% minerals?
Yeah, 44% ash. That's yes, the kelps. The kelps are the brown seaweeds, and we have a blend of sea plants. We have five different kelps mm-hmm. in our blend. But they're known to be mineral rich. But it's not just the minerals in the soil. The bacteria in the soil eat the kelp, eat the seaweed. My son did a science project, one plant with it was a pepper plant with the soil and then some sea veg in there. And our pharmacy blended sea plants, and the other one just the soil. And it wasn't even close. The one, it was like Rapid Grow was in there with the seaweed, and the seaweed one. Now we just put a tablespoon in the soil, and it was just a little potted plant. And so what the bacteria in the soil eat the seaweed, and then they activate the soil. Well, the same thing's true inside of us. The pH in us is bacteria, and good bacteria just love seaweed. I mean, people are changing their pH in their stomach, which is like a garbage can, in the first 30 days.
But a nice garbage can.
And it's just a matter of, it is a garbage can. And, and pH is really where it's at, and that's why the doctors don't talk about it. I mean, malnutrition.
It's not really like a garbage can. It's more like a compost bin pile, right?
Depends on
what you put in it.
Okay. Yeah. if it's living, it could be compost, but... Uh-huh. But the bacteria in our bodies love seaweed, and just a little bit of sea veg every day can change your health to where It's beyond bizarre is what it is, because there's no pill like ours, and there's no plant like marine algae on the planet, and I think it's there for us. It's just sitting out there, growing 2 feet a day.
So how did you become fascinated with kelp? I mean, what was it? What was your epiphany that said that, you know, you just one day said, oh my goodness, there's something in this plant?
Well, kelp is just a cultural term, but that's what I didn't know seaweed from kelp or vice versa. But my mother has multiple sclerosis, and she's pregnant with me. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 27 years later in 83. I found out about these seaweed pills made by the Wachter's Organic Sea Products Corporation in South San Francisco, and I got those for her. And she took them every day, and I met her for lunch, and she took them because she was having some health problems, and her numbness went away in her hands and her feet within 90 days. She told my sister, and my sister told me, and then I went over, you know, I couldn't believe that the numbness had gone away. She had never had another attack, and now she's 84. She lives in Austin in assisted living home. And she had an MRI done in the year 2000, and it confirmed that she's in clinical remission. So she never had another attack or symptom of MS again. And these little green pills did that. So I was amazed with that. I took him to a neurologist, and he just didn't want to know. He didn't care. He put it in his file or something. And then that's when the red flag went up that I realized there's something going on. Something wrong with this picture.
And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, you can tell us what's wrong with this picture. Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We're talking with Seaweed, Is It a Superfood? With Scott Kennedy. You right back. Well, folks, if it's not in the soil, can it be in the food? And if it's not in the food, it's probably not going to be our body. So that's the question we're getting at today is how do we put food back into the soil so it finds its way into our food and from our food into our body? One of the things that we're looking at and considering today is kelp. What the heck is kelp anyway? We'll ask Scott Kennedy, who is the proprietor of Pharmacy, and he features himself a sea farmer. So he farms kelp in the sea, right, Scott?
That's right, and it's Michael. It's spelled pharmacy with an F and an S, so farm and an S E A, like the ocean on the end, and that's a trademark. But it doesn't transfer well over the radio. But not the other pharmacy, which pharma means sorcery in Greek.
Oh.
So the medical industry, stitches, surgeries, and drugs, temporary drugs, are all there for a reason. About 10% of our problems can be addressed with those, and it just gives relief. But to heal, we need food. You're right. We need food, and I don't know that the soil is going to be replenished. I have sent a document 264, and in the 30s, these scientists said the soil has been depleted by the Dust Bowl and over-farming for World War I. And you know, synthetic fertilizers came in after that, so I don't know that the soil is going to be I don't know if it's going to be fertilized. I think we could fertilize our soil, our bodies, with seaweed every day, and it'll take care of everything we're missing in our diet, and we really don't know what we're missing. But we do know that organic food isn't any stronger, and there's over 70 studies that conventional food, organic food, nutritionally is about the same. So, but it's cleaner. Organic food is cleaner. Mm-hmm. But how do we know we're getting all the nutrients? We really don't. And then we're taking vitamins that are synthetically made by drug companies like Bayer and Pfizer. That's at Centrum and One a Day. And we're not getting any better. And so the seaweed is, I think, a perfect food. I put it in a vegetable capsule.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Mm-hmm. When we feed our plants in the soil synthetic fertilizers, those synthetic fertilizers go straight into the plant. It's kind of like force feeding them when it gets right down to it. Is the same true with respect to the synthetically derived vitamins that we?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the biochemical pathway. I know that NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron make the plants grow faster and larger. But if the soil's depleted, if the soil, they don't leave a field fallow for a year, and they don't do that anymore, I don't know, you know, the fertilizer's helping them grow, the synthetic fertilizer, but the minerals just aren't there in the soil, and the soil is weakened, and our soil is weakened. Our bodies are weakened because of that. So there's not many solutions out there. I mean, we try to eat right, but we're on the go. When you think about what you eat in one day, we just know we're not getting all the nutrients.
Well,
you know, every nutrient has a role to play in our health. Every nutrient plays a role in our health, just like a part of a watch.
Well, let's look at the seaweed you're talking about. What is in seaweed that makes it so special?
Well, that's a good question. People used to ask, and we have a chemical analysis. It's just every nutrient. There's lutein in it. There's sterols and lipids. There's carotenoids, mixed carotenoids. There's mixed tocopherols. Those are E's. 28 vitamins, 72 minerals. And the ocean is all the minerals coming from silt and from the rivers. And sea vegetation is very selective, and it builds in its structures many different things. It makes cholesterol. It's the only plant that makes cholesterol. It's the only plant that makes vitamin D. Lives off the sun, isn't rooted, hangs on the rocks, and lifts itself up with pneumocysts, which are like balloons with gas in them, to pull the plant up to the top of the water. And then it sends the nutrition down the stipe, down to the bottom, and the fiber that's there is down hanging on the rocks. See, it needs to be held on. It needs to hang on to grow. So it's a very fascinating plant. And you know, when I say it grows 6 feet and 12, you know, it grows 2 feet a day, 2, 4, 6. So that's 6 feet in 3 days. And in 6 days, in a week, it would grow 12 feet tall. And if you're near San Diego or anywhere where there's seaweed, it comes in, it's the same plants being the tide ripping off the top of the plant. But these are the same plants every day, growing so fast. So they're full of light energy, up to 60 times more dense and potent than any land plant. And Popeye was a sailor, wasn't he, Michael?
Mm-hmm. So are there different kinds of seaweed? And if so, what are the kinds that are most beneficial? I mean, there are lots of different things that grow in the sea, right?
There are. There are 10,000 species, over 10,000 species of seaweed. They're not all edible. The European Union has certifications for edible seaweed, about 20 species. And, you know, it's more widely known over there. But still, in the Western world, Nero said no noble person should eat that green, slimy stuff on the beach. And it never made it into the French cuisine. But in the East, they've been eating it for centuries. I mean, 6,000 BC or 2,000 BC, they have writings for seaweed in Iceland. So we just didn't eat it, and we're missing that iodine and the selenium that works together with iodine that's found in the sea and in seaweed. So,
and as you said earlier, it's a different kind of iodine than the potassium iodide that they put in table salt and the rest of our foods, right?
Right, because they can't make. See, that's the whole thing. Science cannot make vitamins. They can't make iodine. And so they make iodide. But really, when you think about it, when a plant takes nutrition up into itself, and we eat the plant, or it comes out into a fruit, we eat the fruit, we're eating minerals that have been electronically colloidal, made and put in a different state through photosynthesis. It's really magical that a plant can even grow and does grow toward the sun. That's magic in itself. And so if we eat the dirt that's all around the plant instead of the plant, we know that dirt has all the minerals, but they're in isolated form. They're not bound up, organically bound inside a plant. And that's the difference between our vitamins and synthetic vitamins and all these minerals they dig up in Utah and ancient seabed. It's just not happening. It's a $15 billion industry, and people aren't getting better. So seaweed can be a supplement if we put it in the capsule and you take it as a capsule, as a supplement. You don't have to taste it. That's the best way to do it. And every species that's in there, there's 12 species. They're red, green, and brown. Browns are the kelps. They all do have different functions, but they all also have the same nutrition, but some are higher in vitamins, the greens, the reds are higher in antibiotics, and the browns are higher in minerals.
You know, when I went to buy, you know, tons of it for my organic fertilizer, I looked around the world for kelp and tested kelp from a lot of different places. And what I ended up doing is picking high latitude kelp because it was higher in potassium and lower in sodium chloride than kelps that came from closer to the equator. So
yeah.
I know where you select your kelp has a lot to do with the nutrient content of it as well, correct?
That's right. That's exactly correct. And the colder waters are where the big mackerel plants grow. And so everything is really gotten from the cold waters of the North Atlantic, Iceland and Greenland, Ireland. And we get some species from France, and then we get two species from over there in China, two red species that are not very abundant here.
So now you call it the most interesting thing of all. So does not kelp grow in dirty water? And that's we're going to have to take a quick break, but that's what we want to ask when we come back. You know, the ocean is the ultimate repository for all of mankind's wastes. It all heads downstream. So what about kelp? Aren't we not eating all of that? Do stay tuned. We will be right back. 800-624-2665. Well, listen to this. According to the website at farmasea.com, seaweed health benefits can do a great deal more for your body than simply prevent it from developing cancer. Holy smokes, that's a claim right there. It can repair damaged blood vessels, promote weight loss, boost metabolism, block cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and remove toxins from the bloodstream. Gee, Scott Kennedy, doesn't the federal government come after you for saying such things?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask that, Michael, but it's a good question. I've never been written to or called or in any way addressed by any governmental agency because I'm doing something that's good for the public health. Now, you know, not many people in the world do what I do. In fact, nobody does this, specifically makes a dietary food supplement from blends of sea plants. And I speak around the world and I always ask, do you know anybody in your country with these scientists? But, you know, we have to understand that this country is a capitalistic country, and with the pharmaceutical companies having such a hold on us and hold on the lobbying and the government, you haven't heard anything about seaweed from our government in a long time. And I've been doing this for 30 years, but I scan the paper every single day. There's nothing. Now, the French paradox is that they have high cholesterol, over 300, and they have the lowest coronary heart disease in the world. But there's a Japanese double paradox. They have the highest blood pressure in the world, and they smoke the most cigarettes at 58% smoke cigarettes. They have the lowest lung cancer death rate in the world, and Japanese men who smoke live longer than American men who never smoked. So that's a Japanese, and then they have high blood pressure, but they don't, I mean, their mortality is not lessened. So they do live shorter time than the women, but most of the men are smoking in that 58%. So, we're not hearing about seaweed from our government. We're hearing about drugs, and we're hearing about, you know, who knows what we're hearing of, because $50 billion, and we aren't any closer to a cancer cure than when Nixon declared war. And by the way, Michael, I think that,
it's almost like the war on poverty, you know, the war on cancer.
Well, but it's your money. It's our money that's, and guess what? They just say eat better, exercise, and stop smoking. Mm-hmm. So, Michael, I think for $50 billion, is that what all they have to tell us? Because you probably would have done it for $1 billion. I would have done it for $500 million. Yeah. I could say that's biology 101. So, you know, we can't look to those agencies to get better now. We have to look to the sea. We have to look at, you know, we have to understand that they're, you know.
Well, and, you know, the thing about seaweed or kelp is that you can't patent it and own it and control it.
Right.
So somebody else could go into competition with Scott Kennedy and bid for the price of available kelp, and that would be that. But you can't control it. You cannot own it. It belongs to everybody.
And not only that, it's free.
Yeah.
So other than it's free.
Other than the cost of harvesting and whatnot.
Right, right. But yeah.
And right. Pharmaceuticals, the other kind of pharmacy, you know, can be controlled, can be owned, can be managed, and that's what we see, you know, coming out of Washington, D.C., and the healthcare system is that which can be controlled and that which can be owned and manipulated. And so you're outside of the box. You're saying that proper nutrition can take care of you where drugs cannot.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's why I ask, aren't you afraid of the government coming after you for saying these things?
No, because the thing is that sea vegetation, there are more studies on seaweed in the world today than anything close to any other natural product in the country today. So it's been studied for centuries, but studied for decades in Japan and Korea with the iodine and the anti-cancer, the fucoidin. So there's a lot of studies from outside this country on marine algae. I think that the government knows how good seaweed is. It's part of the macrobiotic diet. So I don't make any unsubstantiated claims. I tell the truth about seaweed, and that truth happens to be bigger, and so I can tell the truth. And I'm not afraid of the government when I'm trying to deliver something very powerful to the people, and it's not cheap to import it. We don't use any domestic seaweeds, so we import it by the ton, and it's just not cheap. We have to compete with guys that pull dirt out of the ground in Utah and call it a mineral supplement. So it's a labor of love for me because people are healed. If you go on our site, you'll see letters from people that I just couldn't believe. I mean, the MS was just the first part. But so I don't make any unsubstantiated claims. And by the way, the National Cancer Institute has already come out and said in press releases that 31% of cancers are preventable with diet. Now, isn't it interesting that diet and toxicity, and I'm saying two things the doctors don't even acknowledge or address. I'm saying that the bane of this country, the health problems of this country are degeneration, and only 10% are accidents and orthopedics and eye surgery and things like that. So degenerative disease is 70% of the gross medical product, and it stems directly from malnutrition, and all the nutritional CDC, NIH, and WHO, the World Health Organization, all agree, because it's a biological fact, all degenerative disease originates in malnutrition. So we're not even getting addressed for toxicity and malnutrition are the two banes of this country, and the doctors don't talk about either one.
And what they don't talk about is that we can be malnourished by overeating, because if it's not in the soil, it won't be in the food. And if it's not in the food, no matter how much we eat, it isn't going to be in our body.
It's laden with iodine. And I think we crave it, the iodide. The thyroid wants iodine, Michael, and if it just gets a pinhead a day, a half a milligram a day, stores 50 milligrams, but
we're going to have to take a quick break, Scott. Hold on. We will be right back. So much to talk about, so little time. This is The Food Chain. Well, is it possible that seaweed is a superfood? Scott Kennedy seems to think so. Scott, a caller calls in and asks, what about the seaweed growing in high mountain lakes like Lake Titicaca in the Andes? The blue-green algae harvested?
Yeah.
Is that the same kind of thing that we're talking about here?
No, it isn't. The blue-green algae and spirulina companies don't make any effort to distance themselves from seaweed because they know that seaweed is the mother of all plants. And microalgae pales in comparison to macroalgae. So macroalgae is what I'm referring to when I talk about seaweed and the ocean saltwater plants. And then the microalgae are single-cell they're called bacteria in science, but spirulina and chlorella are abundant, but they are not human foods. They're just not human foods, and they come very inexpensive. And they're microalgae for micro beings. We're macro beings with many cells. So that's why seaweed is part of the macrobiotic diet, because considered the best diet in the world, because the iodine is there, but also the minerals. And so spirulina and chlorella are blue-green algaes close to bacteria. And they're single cell. They don't grow into large plants. And we're saltwater beings. We have saltwater coursing through our veins. In fact, if we're healthy, our veins and blood has the same salinity as the ocean and the same pH if we're healthy. And we have little creatures breathing under blue saltwater right now. I mean, they're breathing oxygen, and 76% of the world's oxygen comes from phytoplankton. So the oceans are keeping us alive. I mean, they're not polluted. You were going to talk about pollution, and that's a question that comes up. I say that the people that think the ocean's polluted are the ones polluting it. or the ones following them, because only 2% of the coastline in the world is polluted, and the ocean is not polluted. There's some plastic swirling around out there in the Pacific, but as far as the water being polluted, every year the bottom of the ocean comes up to the top. The water on the bottom comes up to the top every year. It's as deep as Mount Everest. You can fly 12 hours at 600 miles an hour and not see land. It's not a lake. We have not polluted it. It's the only place we can go now that's untouched by man. And marine algae grows wild in the colder waters, and we don't get any seaweed from any coastline that's in any way tied. But it does die off the coast of Santa Monica and New York, but then it'll grow down in San Diego. So it is very selective, and it will die before it'll absorb all those toxins. It can absorb some metals here and there, and so we test it for all those things, but we only get it from type A water, and that's why I don't use any domestic seaweed.
Producer Kelly wants to know about hyperthyroidism and its impact on women.
Yes, and you know, we could spend a whole show talking about that. It's my number one. It gives me the most angst. Well, I guess second only to prenatal synthetic vitamins being pushed onto organic fetuses. But the hypothyroidism, when hypo is slow, as the thyroid slowing down, just like the pancreas slows down when you take insulin, or just like a bodybuilder, I use the example of testosterone coming in from the outside, then the testicles will shrivel up, they will stop working, because that's what organs do. They don't create hormones if the hormone's already in the blood. The pituitary doesn't send the signal. So iodide, there's so much iodide in the food supply now. You go to the movie theaters, and that's what they're salting the popcorn with.
Iodide and not
slowing
iodine.
Down. Yeah, there's no iodine in the food supply. Edgar Cayce, in Trance, said that iodine is the magical missing nutrient for all mankind as it relates to intelligence and all disease. Yet it's not in the soil, and so but the iodide is slowing down the thyroid. So everybody's hypothyroid.
Scott,
and they go in now. The doctors are putting on the Synthroid.
Yeah, Scott, we're out of time. How do we get in touch?
Oh, okay.
How do we get in touch?
I have an 800. Well, you can Google Scott Kennedy or CVEG, SEAVEG, or go to my site, a pharmacy, or call 1-866 CVEG, SEAVEG.
Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a list.